bleep.
Here we bleep. It's bonus pod 208. And we're running out of power and we're driving to a services, guys. There's tension.
You get in the back of the stretch limo. God, you're so excited. You've never been in a limo before. You've seen them in the movies, on the TV. Yeah, it's just like they look there, the tinted windows, the long sort of living room kind of thing in the car. There's a bucket with a champagne bottle and ice in there. You're the first to turn up, but wow, you're excited about this. God, you're so glad you got this on Groupon. You were surprised to hear Groupon was even still going. But the friend said, no, it still exists. And you said, what, really? Groupon? And you went on there, and there it was. Limousine experience. Affordable pounds. And you thought, well, fuck it, I'll do it. And here you are in the Groupon. You hear a sneeze. You hear a sneeze.
Sorry.
Come from the front of the limousine. And that kind of takes you out of your reverie. And you go, oh, that's a bit gross. I guess it is a Groupon limousine experience. It was never going to be.
And there's a scream.
Completely. And then you hear a scream also from the front. What? Screaming and sneezing. And then again, this, achoo, what? Ah, ah, what? Achoo, ah. And you go, excuse me. Achoo, ah, excuse me. But no one replies. And instead, the limousine sets off at such speed. You're thrown into the back of the seat. Ah, like that. Oh, achoo, ah. And the champagne bottle's rattling in the ice. And you go, sorry, no one else is in here yet. Didn't anyone else sign up to this Groupon experience for limousine? Help! Driver! Driver! Please stop, slow down! But they're just screaming and sneezing in the front. And you get on the floor. You're fighting against the G-forces. And you're crawling along the floor of the limousine bit. You crawl and you get to the black window that separates the drivers from the back of the limousine. You go, dunk, 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 dunk. Excuse me. Just sneezing and screaming in the front. Dunk, dunk, dunk. Excuse me. You're pressing the button. That's meant to roll it down. It doesn't work. And you go, and you get your fingernails between the top of the window. And you find a gap and you get some purchase and you pull it down. Achoo, achoo, and you look in and it's Phil and Pierre. Phil's driving and he's sneezing. Achoo, like that. Achoo, achoo. And Pierre's sat next to him in the passenger seat screaming. And you say, what's going on? And Phil says, achoo, I think I've got a cold. And you go, why are you screaming to Pierre? And Pierre says, I'm scared I'm going to get it. Welcome to bonus.
That's part. Good. I like
yeah,
that.
You like that? Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Like a, that's like a sort of old school, like clean joke. I'm scared I'm going to get it. Like a kind of joke you could say at a Sunday school.
Yes.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost the joke you'd read on, like, kids' jokes Twitter account or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. One of the ones where it's sort of the kid is just old enough for it to kind of make
kind
any
of
sense
makes
at all.
Sense, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whereas some of them are just like, why did the lettuce cross the road? Poo-poo, bum-bum.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's not good.
I mean, that's our podcast. Basically, you've just described our podcast.
Yeah, and, you know, these are precocious kids who one day we could leave the podcast too.
Yeah, every time I hear a kid make a joke like that, I'm like, I like pull up my collar nervously. I'm like, oh God, they're coming for my job.
Oh jeez. Do you have any spice for in the car? Car spice?
Oh, do I have a spicy take? What spicy thoughts have I had? We've been on tour. We've been on the road. My spicy take is that KFC is actually quite healthy, and I should eat as much as I can.
Whoa.
Tour manager is calling me Bad Phil and shaking his head.
Yeah,
because when the first day of this tour, I said, Paul, there's only one rule on this tour that you have to enforce, and that is don't let me have KFC 2 days in a row. Which isn't a big ask, really, but to me, that feels like a great step forward in my discipline.
It was your version of like... Yeah, someone saying no groupies or no booze or... you got to promise me one thing, Paul. You got to keep me away from that colonel and his chicken. Yeah, it was nice. It was quite Elvis-y.
Yeah, yeah. Do I have any other spicy take? No, it's all been pretty fun, really. Pretty nice. Crowds have been great.
Yeah.
Venues have been nice. Yeah, I'll try and think of one. Do you have a spicy take right now?
There should be a...
This is my spicy take.
Okay.
I love non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah, Phil loves non-alcoholic
beer. I've been on the non-alcoholic beer,
beer
on tour because I don't want to be drinking on tour.
I don't understand it.
Don't understand what? Like the need to have... So your position is, if you don't have alcohol, just have a completely different drink.
I would have Diet Coke, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I don't understand. I don't understand the love of Diet Coke, because I think it's horrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're very much Jack Sprat and his wife over here.
Wow, I didn't think that you were going to say that.
What, really?
Jack Sprat and his wife.
Yeah, you know, in a sense, we have these gaps of desire that sort of, you know, fill each other in a way as a pairing.
It's
right?
It's now our that's going to be our sort of romantic ambient album title.
Jack Sprat and his wife.
No, that's going to be one of the tracks. The album's going to be called Gaps of Desire. I like that. Oh, have you listened to the main single from Gaps of Desire? It's haunting, haunting track.
But I like the sensation of having a beer at the end of the day, but I just don't want any booze because it'll make me slow and sad the next day.
I'm so skeptical of this.
Yeah, you're very skeptical because I won't even have a sip.
I said I wanted Phil to have a sip of my beer to see if it was flat. It was flat. And Phil was like, no.
No.
It was that level of control.
Well, I mean, yeah, think about it from my... Consider the offer. It wasn't really appealing in any sense because it was,
yeah,
here, Phil, break your chastity for this experience that I'm already telling you is not good.
Yeah, Phil, I know you're chaste, but if you could pop your penis into this horrible hole here. That's what I was saying to you.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah, ruin your oath to God for this thing that is bad. Fair enough. Yes, that is fair enough. I've had non-alcoholic beer, but I've always thought, oh, I missed the bit where it's got booze in.
I get that. But the real good imitators, you get that initial rush, after a while, you don't really mind that you're not getting drunk.
I suppose so. Maybe I'll give it a go. Maybe.
But there's some real goodies out there.
Yeah, they're getting better. The technology is advancing.
They're learning.
They're learning.
I look at non-alcoholic beers like raptors. They're learning.
Or you take a sip and say, clever girl.
Clever girl.
As you take a sip of Heineken Blue.
It's Heineken Zero, actually.
Heineken Zero.
Heineken Zero is good.
What's the one that's blue? Beck's Blue.
Beck's
Thank
Blue.
You, Paul. It is terrible.
Maybe less
it smells
good.
Of chemicals. Smells of sweat. Do I have a spicy take? Hotel pools are gross.
Ah, yes, you attempted a hotel swim this morning and you were put off by...
It was a big soup of nanas.
It was, a grandma
soup.
Broth.
It was a grandma broth. it was a broth of nans.
That's a collective noun, by the way.
A broth of nans.
A broth of nans.
Yeah. Do you see that broth of nans over there blocking the pavement? Yeah. There was a broth of nans and moving up and down the one separate lane like jellyfish, all slow and poisonous.
And never dying.
Never dying.
Yeah.
Only technically being alive. And the non-lane bit of the pool was just people sort of chatting really, but wet.
Crackers.
So do you want to go have a natter, but wet? A natter.
A wet natter.
A wet natter. So there wasn't really much motion going on, and there was no room to do any motion, especially if you've got the wingspan that I have. So instead of the swim, it had like one of those little steam rooms where you feel like there should be meat hanging up inside. And in a way, there is. So I went and sat in there, and the nanas kept coming in and out so much, so slowly, that it was the same temperature as the world. So there's no point. It was just a cupboard that we were hiding in for a bit. So my spicy opinion is that there should be a kind of pool...
Age apartheid in swimming pools, is that what you're saying?
Separate pools. Yeah. I don't even want to push for that, as extreme as that. A warning on the lobby.
Okay. Right, okay.
So when they say, the hotel has a pool, you go, oh, is it a nana broth? And they go, yes, it's a nan broth.
Our pool is a nan broth pool, yeah.
Yes, we've got a nan broth pool, and we've got a wet cupboard that you can sit in. And you go, oh, thank you. Okay, I'll think about it. Because the only reason I was annoyed was because I had foolishly developed expectations.
You must never develop expectations in an English hotel, Pierre.
No, I'd had this vision of myself gracefully exercising off my hash browns from the buffet breakfast.
Yeah.
And then I was instead confronted with nana broth. And, you know, I'm not saying they can't have any lanes, the nanas, but I want a lane for serious splooshing around.
What I don't get about the people leaving the steam door open for a long time is you live in a home. I imagine you're very particular about not letting heating out. This is the same principle.
Yeah.
Why cannot you transfer that principle to this? Is it just because they're not paying the bill?
They're about to come and try and enjoy the steam room, so they're lowering the quality of their imminent experience.
Perhaps they assume this has been built into the design of the steam room, that people will do this.
Yeah.
And so they don't think they have any responsibility to maintain the steam levels of the steam room.
Also, the room is still hot from the way they feel from outside. They don't understand that they've created an enormous waft of cold
horrible.
For everyone who's been in there. So yeah, maybe that's my spicy opinion. Keep the nanas in their broth.
Yeah, I think this is a good, and in general, a spicy opinion I will go in on is that people lose all sense of group responsibility in a hotel.
Yeah.
A hotel, buffet breakfast, the swimming pool. People behave like fucking animals. And I don't know if it's a sort of low-level version of mob mentality.
Yeah.
Or bystander effect. I suppose that's what it is. So a bystander effect. Someone else will take care of this. Someone else will put the bean spoon back in the tray. Someone else will close the bacon pot.
Yeah. But I think my theory is that these people are inconsiderate in their own homes.
You think?
And that their partners are slowly bubbling over with resentment over many decades.
Because I think, actually, people go on holiday as a holiday from responsibility.
There's definitely an element of that.
Mm.
But I think while they are making their brain 30% more poopy to relax in the hotel, they already had a fairly poopy brain.
Yeah, yeah. There's a poop seed in that brain already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a poop seed. And in the kind of tight, like hard-to-negotiate area of the breakfast buffet today, just middle-aged men just standing in the middle, just like looking at some granola, and you just go, it's all you can do not to go, get out of the way.
Just standing there like a Spanish tourist.
Yeah, blocking, endlessly blocking.
God damn.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of any other sports, actually. It was rowdy in Durham last night. We were commenting how it was full of people
the city's
trying to get absolutely battered.
And the theater was this sole oasis in a sea of chaos.
Yeah, all the nerds had clustered inside the theater to hide and listen to me and Phil be wry.
Yes, yes, yes. It was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Wonderful.
And then we all had to be released back into that good night.
It's times like that that really remind me why I love doing this and why I love the theaters and the performing arts is that it's away from those people. It's away from the other people.
It's not in the Slug and Lettuce.
Oh my God, the Slug and Lettuce was like a Hieronymus Bosch painting.
Yeah, it was pretty vivid.
There was a guy just with his huge mouth open, people screaming, falling into his mouth, and there was a lizard.
People playing trumpets with their bums.
Jumping up a lady's nose, and it was horrible, man.
Loads of that sort of thing.
The iguana from Las Iguanas had come to life and and was laying eggs, and women were jumping out of the eggs and drinking Prosecco. It was horrible.
It was an intense experience and quite a vibe on the way to a theater.
Yes, yes.
Not what one would expect. But Phil, we should do some VIP correspondence. It's piling up.
Okay.
It's piling up. This is from Emily.
Emily, we get either a couple of return Emilys or we have a lot of Emilys listen to the show.
I think it's both.
Okay.
I think it's both.
Emily, you're a Gemily.
Mm.
You're a gem to me. Oh, I think I've actually done you're a gem to me.
You've done that.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Emily, phlegm on me.
Oh,
I betrayed a gross
saucy
inclination there. Maybe I like to be phlegmed on.
Not spat on.
Nope.
Phlegmed on. Emily says, hey, buds, just a note to say how much I enjoyed BudPod Live, the sequel, last night.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And while I'm at it, BudPod Live 1. I listened to it on the day the very first I listened to BudPod on the day our very first episode came out. As in episode 1.
Sorry? I don't understand.
Emily listened to BudPod on the day our very first episode came
out. Wow. I mean, so this is a founding farter, like
platinum
a star,
edition.
Yeah.
Platinum Plus. Farter. And fell in love immediately with your erudite patter and slimy chronicles. That's a good compliment. Thank you. I've listened religiously ever since. I've thought long and hard about redacting my praise, but cannot hold my gratitude into you both any longer. Budpod has been a constant to me through some tumultuous life events. I cannot thank you enough. I'll keep it at that. That's very nice.
Oh, good. Thanks, Emily. That's wonderful to hear.
Anyway, yesterday was great. Stormy performance from City Roach and Lucky Kentucky. Quick thing, though. What happened to the right to bear cans?
Oh, the right to bear cans, of course.
Lots of can bearers in last night, but I felt a little edgy joining in without the pair of you decreeing we might do so. And will there be another Budpod Live? Can we one day expect a live version of Mechatine or Bacon White?
Of course, Mechatine and Bacon.
Mechatine.
We do have such an archive of high quality intellectual property, don't we?
Yeah, we are working on the archive, by the way, guys.
Yes, great. There will be another Budpod Live there at some point. And you will hear it here first on the bonus pod, of course.
You are our priority. Bacon White.
Oh, I love you so weird and white.
And Mechatine by the power of 1,000 wanks, of course. It's his catchphrase. I really enjoyed putting the echo on that when I was editing it.
Well, the power of 1,000 wanks. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Emily says, I am a journalist, by the way. Cool.
Oh, very cool. Nice. I think journalist is such a cool job.
Yeah. I don't know if any other journalists listen to the pod, but I'm sure they would agree with me that there's no better news digest than Budpod after a week churning the meat grinder of current affairs. Thanks again. Okay, thank you, Emily. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily. Yes.
Very good.
I mean, we digest the news that the news digesting podcasts digest.
Yeah.
We're the third person in the human centipede of news.
By the time the poo gets to us, it's so finely digested that all we're really doing is putting our own spin on the poop.
Yeah. Exactly. But a real honor to hear that the journalist appreciates our third-hand journalism.
Our smearings.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. We got a message from Josh.
Josh. Oh, my gosh.
That's good.
Is it really Josh?
Dearest Podmen, I write to you in the midst of my third listen through the Budpod archives.
Holy crap.
Physicians do not recommend.
Physicians are actively banning, actually.
Physicians hate Josh because of his one weird trick.
The Surgeon General has banned third listenings of the Budpod.
Yeah. Doctors have given up on me at this point, he says.
Nice.
As a very keen Pistorian, I've been recommending Budpod to just about everyone I know. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much. Thrilled to see the return of City Roach in Leicester Square Theatre.
Yes.
This is one of a number of relatively niche elements of the Budpod lore that lives rent-free in my brain. Another example is Pierre's vivid description of that familiar hangover feeling as Cranhead.
Cramhead.
With an N.
Cranhead,
which led to me to imagine the rest of the episode being delivered by a furious red cranberry atop Pierre's body.
Oh, right, I see, yes.
Yes, that was me and George who popped up on the last Budpod patron.
Yes.
When we were in our first year, experiencing our first proper only red wine hangovers.
Oh, yeah.
And that level of dehydration and, like, fucking red wine lip and, like, the sharpness of those headaches. We were saying, it was like you wake up and your head is the size of a cranberry on top of your neck. A furious little red cranberry. So we would describe it as Cranhead.
And all the remnants of the wine have gone sour overnight. And you can... Yoy.
So, as Josh says, enough chit-chat. Let's get down to business.
Let's get down to business.
I come bearing a poo-adjacent tale about someone I knew from school who shall remain anonymous.
Okay.
Anonymous had a hairy ass.
I think that's a Smith song, isn't it?
Anonymous had a hairy ass. Anonymous had a hairy ass. Oh. England's full, and I've got a hairy ass.
It's Morrissey being xenophobic and singing about his ass.
So is Morrissey actually xenophobic? I thought he was just like too vegetarian, wasn't it?
No, he's xenophobic as well.
Right.
If not racist.
Okay.
In my opinion. Anyway, Anonymous had a hairy ass. The kind of swampy jungle that would make Shrek recoil in disgust.
Nice.
So much so that he had frequent problems with wiping. Yeah, in which shitty detritus would end up stuck in his bum forest.
It does seem like a design flaw, to be honest, the bum forest. I don't see what...
I don't see what evolutionary advantage crack hair has.
Yeah, Buddha got that one wrong, let me just say.
Yeah. Often causing great discomfort and underpants problems. In order to rectify this, Anonymous opted to cut back the dank, thick cops.
Cops, lovely word. Cops is a lovely word.
Surrounding his anus. So far, so good. Plenty of humans keep a tight ship when it comes to bum hair. You've got Paul there with that, Josh. Well done. Now, man, I keep something of a tight ship when it comes to bum hair. And on this ship, I don't want to see any curlers poking out of the top of your pantaloons.
Keep your anus clean and it'll be your best friend out there.
However, Anon's mistake was to use a dry, probably blunt razor rather than wax. The consequences of this were not felt until a lunchtime football game about a week later.
Yo!
When sharp pain started emanating from his now deforested bumhole. So that's a sweat, I guess. The pain got so bad that he had to stop playing football and retire to the changing rooms.
Oh, right, so the salty sweat getting into them cuts.
Yeah. Where he used the camera on his phone to inspect the source of the now worsening pain.
Welcome to the future, everyone.
Oh, to his horror... This gets worse, Phil.
No.
To his horror, he noticed large swollen pus pockets adjacent to his brown eye that were excruciating to the touch.
I'm holding on to the handle in the car. No.
The car saying, I don't like it. This email is disgusting.
How can I... Sorry, I can't stand this. Sorry.
Sorry.
Stop.
And then it slams the brakes on and we fly through the windshield and die. And they were excruciating to the touch. These were the results of ingrown hairs burying themselves into his flesh around his bum. Horrible. Ooh. Afternoon lessons were torturous that day, as it was now very painful to sit on this mess of infected bumhole wounds.
Ooh.
An emergency GP appointment followed, in which a special cream and a course of antibiotics were prescribed to sort out this shit show.
Oh my god.
Embarrassing. In his opinion, the worst thing was the pain induced by wiping for weeks that followed. Oh!
That's Pierre's favorite thing.
That's my favorite thing in the world, is to not have shit on my ass. I guess the moral of the story is not to take matters into your own hands when it comes to anal topiary.
Yeah.
A few dingleberries is better than an infected pus-leaking crack.
Ugh.
That's, I've got that burnt onto a plank of wood above my hearth. A few dingleberries is better than an infected pus-leaking crack.
Yeah.
Just like Nana used to say. Don't you ever stop choking the chicken, Josh. Thank you, Josh. By which I mean, no thank you.
Gosh, Josh, that was a wonderful story and absolutely vile. I hated it.
Yeah, pretty gross.
Great.
Nice, though.
Oof. Yuck.
Okay, we're running out of power. Let's see how much of this bonus pod we can record, everyone. I hope you're feeling the tension. We're getting down to the final 7%.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is from Michael.
Michael. Oh, my.
Mayo Michael. Dear Piero LeFou and Filiacci.
Ah. Oh, those are clowns. Pagliacci and Piero.
Yes.
Something.
Yes, these are clowns. And we are clowns.
It's true.
I'm just quickly saving the file. That would be bad if we lost this. Praise preemptively redacted. I don't imagine you Britishers have been paying attention to the World Baseball Classic. No, we haven't.
Oh, no, I forgot this year.
A relatively minor exhibition taking place during American baseball spring training. However, Great Britain is being represented none too effectively by a team, and to say that the official uniform they are wearing is bin bags would be an understatement. See attached. Your Diamond Gladiators are kitted out in togs with less panache and design sense than a typical supermarket bag.
Oh no.
My own woeful efforts as a young baseballer in the late 80s were achieved while wrapped in more sartorial excellence, and I was wearing 100% polyester. Good lord.
Yeah, the British are not good at their kits. They don't have very nice kits.
The football kits are good.
Are they? Don't they have like weird... Oh no, I'm thinking of the rugby kit, which is not nice. The current rugby kit's not nice.
The England one, the weird splash on it.
On the little like digital kind
Yeah, but
of
no one likes that.
Bloops on it. I don't like it.
Look at that. The uniform is just white and it says Great Britain on it.
It's a bit boring.
Shit.
It's because they're sort of stuck in between sort of American...
it looks plain.
Aesthetic and British aesthetic, yeah. It's
completely
boring.
Plain. Oh, well. In unrelated news, I've decided to listen to the full run of Bud Pod from the beginning. Physicians do not recommend.
They do not.
Having spent the last several months jumping about at random through the back catalogue whilst keeping up to date with new deliveries.
Ah.
Yeah. Phil's family tradition, spelled with a PH.
Oh, nice.
Of Yuletide escargot reminded me of an incident with snails from my youth.
Okay.
My father was a man of estimable culinary ambition.
Oh, wow.
Whose theory often outstripped his practice.
Whose theory often outstripped... Nice.
Curry chicken Parmesan stands out in this respect.
Gosh. Yeah. That sounds like... No, the Parmesan is the wrong cheese to go with.
It's a bit too stinky.
It's too stinky, yeah.
He also had a second job making home visits to clients of a nursing agency throughout various parts of the Bronx.
Wow. Oh, I forgot this is all very American.
Yeah, occupied by people who had arrived from throughout the world.
Mm.
I like how American this email is.
Yeah.
The Bronx. On one such excursion, he stopped by a market catering to immigrants from West Africa and picked up a can of snails still in the shell.
Oh, still in the shell. Usually yeah. They come out of the shell. You have to put them in.
Not having any prior experience with preparing snails, he poured some into a bowl and popped the bowl in the microwave.
You're joking. What?
As some of us know, and my family learned on that fateful day, the method by which microwaves cook is by heating up the water within the food being irradiated.
Yeah.
However, when water is superheated inside a snail shell, it becomes a hyperpressurized steam and causes the snail to rattle about and ultimately explode.
Oh, no.
The sound was alarming, and the stink of these snails when the microwave door was opened was, let's just say, worthy of Bud Pod. After that, my old man's culinary free reign was considerably curtailed. Koji Michael.
Gosh, that is rough.
Whistling
story,
exploding
though.
Snails.
In somewhere in Africa, they have elephant snails, which are these enormous snails that
yeah.
you can eat, I think.
They're frightening.
Oof.
They look like you'd be slicing them like a fucking meatloaf.
Yeah, woof. But,
not
oh man, don't put snails in the microwave.
And a quick email as the power drains from the laptop from Tabitha.
Tabitha, go on, give us a gab with her.
I remember at school, because my school had a bunch of Germans in, laughing when they insisted, initially through a mistake, and then it became a thing, of referring to a Tabitha as Tabitha.
Tabitha.
Tabitha. Ja, was gehen, Tabitha? Wie geht's? Oh, Tabitha. So Tabitha says, surely the new pic of Suella Braverman doing an evil laugh in front of a detention center deserves some attention on the pod. On par with Priti Patel's, did you think love could save you? Vibes. That's true.
I mean, you have to give it up to the Tory party. They said you couldn't find a Home Secretary more psychotic and evil than Priti Patel, but they found one.
Yeah.
And, as a little bonus, she's also very dumb.
She's also
extremely
really dumb. And they're both non-white.
Yes.
These
yes,
are a lot of criteria to fit in.
This is the new world, man.
And that picture of her laughing, it really is like a full head thrown back. Like it is like an evil, evil laugh.
You know what I find funny is that sort of, you know, the Western liberals have dreamed for a long time of a post-racial society.
Yeah.
This is kind of a post-racial society.
We're doing it.
We're doing it right now. I'm afraid post-racial society means very conservative people of color.
Yes, it also means that, yeah, that's true, that all the racists who you encounter should be in proportion with the population.
Yeah. Yeah, post-racial doesn't mean the end of racism. It just
no.
means every flavor of racism.
In the UK, statistically, 10% of racists should be Asian. Basically, right?
Yeah.
Well, on that note.
On that note.
Work on it, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Car Bonus Pod.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you again soon. Love you a lot. We will be stationary next time.
We will be stationary next time. But other than that, we will keep you updated on any future developments of Budpod Live and the archive. We may be appealing to you guys for help with the archive or with some of your favorites. So keep an eye out.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you.